Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. This is show number 423. We are in the book of Luke. We'll be beginning in chapter 13 today. I want to give my website before we get too far along. You have to enter the right thing. If you just Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. That won't be me. It's https://// www.pastor-steve.com. And be careful. If you just Google it, you're going to get everybody but me. There's a whole bunch of them out there. That's the internet. Let's get started in chapter 13 of the book of Luke. Let me get a little drink of this stuff here. I needed that. This is verse 1 of chapter 13 of the book of Luke. And some were present at that time, reporting to him, speaking of Yeshua, okay, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their offerings. And Yeshua answering said to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans, because they have suffered like this?" Verse 3. "I say to you, no. But unless you repent, you shall all perish in the same way." Verse 4. "Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were greater offenders than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem?" Verse 5. I say to you, no. But unless you repent, you shall all perish in the same way. Verse 6. And he spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Verse 7. And he said to the gardener, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it even make the ground useless? All right, let's stop right here. How long was Yeshua's ministry? It was about 3 years, wasn't it? And the fig tree are the people. Okay, fig tree is the people. And they weren't bearing fruit. But he was still coming around trying to find fruit on it. Let's go to verse 8. And he answering said to him, that's the gardener, being Yeshua, Master, leave it this year too until I dig around it and throw manure. Verse 9. And if indeed it bears fruit, good. But if not so, you shall cut it down. That's the people. If they don't bear fruit, they'll be cut down and cast into the fire. Verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the congregations on the Shabbat. Verse 11. And see, there was a woman having a weakening spirit for 18 years and was bent over and was unable to straighten up at all. Verse 12, and Yeshua, seeing her, called her near and said to her, Woman, you are loosened from your weakness. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was straightened up and praised Elohim. Here we go. He just did a miracle. He did good. Here's verse 14. You can reference Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 and 10, and the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Here's verse 14. But the ruler of the congregation, responding, much displeased that Yeshua had healed on the Shabbat, said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men should work. So come and be healed on them and not on the Shabbat day. Let's stop here. Was that work or was that an act of kindness or doing good? That wasn't work. That wasn't labor for gain. So he was just being what he was and being mean. Verse 15. Then the master, that's Yeshua, answered him and said, Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Shabbat loosen his ox or his donkey from the stall and leave it away to water it? Verse 16. And this one, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, look, for 18 years. Should she not be loosened from this bond on the Shabbat? Verse 17. And when he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. That would be the Edomites the Pharisees, you know. And all the crowd rejoiced for all the splendid works being done by him. Verse 18. Therefore he said, what is the reign of Elohim like? And to what shall I compare it? Verse 19. It is like a mustard seed. Now that's a very, very tiny little seed, okay? It's like a mustard seed which a man took and threw into his garden. And it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the heavens nested in its branches. It starts out as a little thing and grows and provides a refuge for all the birds, being the remnant, the chosen people. Okay. Verse 20, and again he said, to what shall I compare the reign of Elohim? Verse 21. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. In other words, it spreads all through. Okay. Verse 22. And he was going through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Master, are there few who are being saved? And he said to them, verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Because many, I say to you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Master, Master, open for us. And he shall answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Verse 26. Then you shall begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. Verse 27. And you can reference Psalm 6. Verse 8, that's Psalm 6, verse 8. But he shall say, I say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of unrighteousness. And here's verse 28. And for verse 28, you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 28, through chapter 17, verse 3. That's 16, 28, through 17, verse 3. Chapter 22, verse 13. That's 22, 13. And chapter 25, verse 30. That's 25, 30. And for verses 28 and 29, you can reference Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. That's chapter 8, 11 and 12 for verses 28 and 29. Verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the prophets in the reign of Elohim, and yourselves thrown outside. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east and the west and from the north and from the south and sit down in the reign of Elohim. Those are people that are the remnant. They're going to make it in, and those that just sort of hung around and gave lip service, they're not going to make it in. Verse 30 of chapter 13, you can reference Matthew chapter 19, verse 30, and chapter 20, verse 16. That's Matthew 19, 30, and 20, 16, and the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 31. That's Mark 10, 31. This is verse 30 here of Luke. And see, there are last who shall be first, and there are first who shall be last. And again, I'll tell you what that means. People that are last in this world, that people look down on, that are righteous and do what they're supposed to do, and they'll be first in the kingdom. And there's going to be people that are first in this world, very important, very rich, have all kinds of stuff and opportunity, and they're going to be last in the kingdom because they didn't do anything righteous with it. Verse 31 of Luke 13. On the same day there came certain Pharisees saying to him, get out and go from here, for Herodias wishes to kill you. Well, he did. Verse 32. And he said to them, go, say to that fox, see, I cast out demons and perform healings today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. He knew what was coming. He would rise on the third day, okay? Verse 33 of chapter 13 of Luke. But I have to journey today and tomorrow and the day following, because it is not fitting for a prophet to perish outside of Jerusalem. This is verse 34 of the book of Luke. And you can reference 2 Esdras chapter 1 verse 30. 2 Esdras 1, verse 30. Let me get a little drink here. Verse 34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to her. How often I wish to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Okay, Yeshua, being the Father, had sent prophets, and they killed them. Didn't want to listen. Verse 35. And you can reference Psalm 118, verse 26. 118, 26, and Matthew 23, verse 39. Matthew 23:39 as well. Verse 35. See, your house is left to you laid waste. And truly I say to you, you shall by no means see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who is coming in the name of Yahweh, because Yeshua will come in the name of Yahweh, who is coming. Okay? He's already here, and they wouldn't listen. But they're going to say, blessed is he who's coming in the name of Yahweh. Because when he comes back, that's what he's going to do. He's going to come in the name of Yahweh. And it's going to be a scary time for the wicked. Okay? The wicked are not going to fare well. Not going to be good. Well, that ends chapter 13 of the book of Luke. Now we're going to get into chapter 14 here. Verse 1 of chapter 14. And it came to be, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they were watching him closely. Verse 22. And see, there was a certain man before him suffering from dropsy. Now, I don't know exactly what dropsy is, but I think it's epilepsy or something. It was something he was suffering from. Okay, that's some type of ailment that this man had that nobody else could handle. Of course, they couldn't cure anybody. Verse 3, and Yeshua responding spoke to those learned in the Torah and the Pharisees, saying, is it right to heal on the Shabbat? Verse 4, but they were silent. So, taking hold of him, that's the guy with dropsy, he healed him and let him go. And here's verse 5. And you can reference Matthew chapter 12, verse 11. That's Matthew 12, 11. And to them he said, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, shall not immediately pull him out on the Shabbat day? There's the question. Verse 6. And they were unable to answer him regarding these matters. Of course, they couldn't answer him about that, because they would do it. Verse 7. And he spoke a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, here is verses 8 through 10 of chapter 14, 8 through 10. And you can reference Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 and 7 for verses 8 through 10. That's Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7. Here's verse 8. When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more distinguished than you be invited by him. Verse 9. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give this one place. And then you begin with shame to take the last place. Verse 10. Rather, when you are invited, go and sit down in the last place, so that when he who invited you comes, he shall say to you, friend, come up higher. Then you shall have esteem in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. Now here's verse 11. And you can reference Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Matthew 23, 12. And Luke chapter 18, verse 14. Luke 18, 14. Here's verse 11. For everyone who is exalting himself shall be humbled. And he who is humbling himself shall be exalted. In other words, if you are a humble servant of Yahweh and you just want to serve and you are happy being in the service, that pleases him greatly. Okay, verse 12. And he also said to him who invited him, that's the Pharisee, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, nor your brothers, nor your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Okay, quid pro quo. I invite you to dinner, you invite me to dinner. That's no big deal. Verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite poor ones, crippled ones, lame ones, blind ones, and you shall be blessed because they do not have to repay you. They don't have anything. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Verse 15. And when one of those who sat at the table with him heard this, he said to him, blessed is he who eats bread in the reign of Elohim. Verse 16. But he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Verse 17. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all is now ready. Verse 18. But one by one they all began making excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I need to go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to have me excused. These are examples of the supposed righteous, okay? Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and because of this I am unable to come. In other words, he invited a bunch of people, and they all had excuses of the world why they couldn't come. Verse 21. And that servant came and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, being wroth, that's angry, said to his servant, Hurry out into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. Verse 22. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go out into the street corners and hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house is filled. Verse 24. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. In other words, those who were invited, supposed the ones that they're going to church and all that, and doing all this lip service, they've got every excuse in the world for not coming. Because they figure they're already there because they go to church on Sunday. That's going to get them in. Now, membership in an organization isn't going to get you in. Verse 25 of chapter 14. And large crowds were going with him, and turning, he said to them, now listen to this. And you can reference, for verse 26, you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 37. That's 4th Maccabees 2, 11 and 12, and Matthew 10, verse 37. Now, I'm going to explain, they have translated a word into the word hate in here. Verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and his own life too, he is unable to be my taught one. Okay, that word hate is an error, and it has in the notes here, it means to love less. In other words, you have to love Yahshua and Yahweh first over everything else. Just a second here. Yahweh first, always. Okay. You can love your father and your mother and your wife and your children and your brothers and sisters and your own life, but you have to love Yahweh more. Verse 27. You can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 38, and chapter 16, verse 24. That's Matthew 10, 38, and 16, 24. The book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. That's Mark 8, 34. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. That's Luke 9:23. This is verse 27. And whoever does not bear his stake and come after me is unable to be my taught one. Now that would be the stake of impalement, that you will have to suffer. You'll have to die to this world. In other words, this world order and stuff. That stuff is not to be important. You can't love your stuff or anything else more than you love righteousness and the way of Yahweh and Yahshua. You can't. If you have anything between you and him, it's a stumbling block. Verse 28. For who of you, wishing to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to complete it. Verse 29. Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is unable to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was unable to finish. In other words, look at your life, see what belief and following Yahshua is going to cost you. Do you have the wherewithal in your spiritual life to follow him, to really follow him? Now, these Judeo-Christians have laid a foundation, but they can't finish that tower. They just have a little bit of it, but they don't have enough to finish. Oh, well, verse 31. Or what sovereign going to fight against another sovereign does not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Verse 32. And if not, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Words, don't bite off more than you can chew. You can't love the world more than you love Yahweh. You can't love your stuff more than you love Yahweh. Verse 33 of chapter 14, you can reference the book of Luke. Chapter 9, verse 62. Luke 9:62, the book of John, chapter 12, verses 24 through 26, that's John 12, 24 through 26, the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7, that's chapter 3, verse 7, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 26. That's Hebrews 11, 26, for verse 33. So then, every one of you who does not give up all that he has is unable to be my taught one. You can't hang on to your stuff and follow Yahshua. You have to love Yahweh first, and sometimes you have to give stuff up. And that's hard for a lot of people. Might lose a job because of your stance. No, I can't do that. I can't be politically correct. I'm not going to go along with your practice here that goes against what I believe in, that this is wrong. Well, then you're fired. Okay, well, then I'm fired. And you could lose your job, couldn't make your house payments, and they take your house away. That's a price that you would have to pay. That's pretty extreme. But it happens. You understand? If you speak out in the community, you stand up for what is right. Some of these left-wing liberal whatever will dox you and get you fired from your job because of what you say outside the workplace. Well, you're embarrassing the company by this stand. We really don't support that, so we're going to have to let you go. We've had complaints. Price you got to pay. There's a price. Take up that stake and follow him. take up that stake and follow him. And it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard, but you have to stand up for what's morally right, because if you don't, then you're just saying something, you're not doing it. That's what he's trying to tell these people here. Verse 34 of chapter 14. The salt is good, but if the salt becomes tasteless, with what shall it be seasoned? Verse 35. This is your so-called faith. It is not fit for land, nor for manure. They throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that ends chapter 14. Now, I got quite a bit of time, and I'm going to get into chapter 15 here. Not going to be able to do the whole thing, I don't believe. I'm looking at chapter 15, and there's 32 verses. I'm going to go as far as I can in chapter 15. Pardon me just a second. I have to sneeze. Oh, nose tickles. Here's chapter 15 of the book of Luke, verse 1. And on verse 1 and verse 2, both these verses, verse 1 and 2, you can reference Luke chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. Luke 5, 29 and 30. There's verse 1 of chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming to him to hear him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this one receives sinners and eats with them. Well, yeah, he comes for the lost, okay? He doesn't come for righteous, okay? But they don't get that, okay? Verse 3, and he spoke this parable to them, saying, because he's going to answer them, verse 4, what man among you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Verse 5, and having found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. In other words, to carry it. Verse 6, and having come home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Well, an Israelite that he's brought home, okay? Verse 7, I say to you that in the same way there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner repenting than over 99 righteous ones who need no repentance. Verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? Verse 9. And having found it, she calls friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I have lost. Verse 10. I say to you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of the messengers of Elohim over one sinner repenting. Verse 11, And he said, a certain man had two sons. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods falling to me. And he divided his livelihood between them. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son, having gathered all together, went away to a distant country, and there wasted his goods with loose living, or unbridled living. In other words, party, 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 party. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe scarcity of food throughout that land, and he began to be in need. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Verse 16. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods which the pigs were eating, and no one gave to him. He couldn't eat what the pigs were eating. Nobody would let him have it. Verse 17. But having come to himself, in other words, he woke up, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I am perishing with hunger? Verse 18. Having risen, I shall go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and before you. Verse 19, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Verse 20, and having risen, he went to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Verse 23. And bring the fatted calf here and slaughter it, and let us eat and rejoice. Verse 24. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to rejoice. Now, I did a sermon on this. Joy about repentance. Okay. Verse 25. There we go. And his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. Verse 26. And having called one of the servants, he asked what this meant. Verse 27. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he received him back in health. Verse 28, and he was wroth and would not go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. Verse 29, and answering, he said to his father, see, these many years I have been serving you, and I have never transgressed a command of yours. But to me you have never given a young goat, so I could rejoice with my friends. Verse 30. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with whores, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Verse 31. Then he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. verse 32, and we had to rejoice and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, and was lost and is found. Now that ends chapter 15. He's talking about spiritual death. This guy had wasted his life in the world, was spiritually dead. And then he repented. Well, the people that have gone to church always and have tried to live a righteous life always, they're part of the family. A lot of them that believe. So why would you be jealous or upset when somebody that has lived a terrible life repents and comes home? You should be joyous also. You should rejoice. And people ask me, Steve, why do you just keep preaching? Why don't you just quit? You've reached as many people as you're going to reach. You're preaching to the choir. Well, there's a hardcore following out there that listen to what I have to say. And they appreciate it, and they nod their head. Those are people that are with me always. They believe. They're believers. They're already in the remnant. But the reason this word goes out, brothers and sisters, is for somebody that's sort of hanging on the fence, that isn't sure, that needs to hear the word, and the word through the Holy Spirit will draw him to Yahweh. Not me. I'm a sinner saved by grace, same as everybody else. No one comes to the Father unless he draw him. Well, how does he do that? He draws him through the word. And the word is given by a preacher. Somebody preached the word, and I heard when I was a sinner. I heard, and the Holy Spirit drew me. And I fought it for a while like everybody does. Oh man, these religious people, I don't know. It just worked on me and worked on me. And I could not fight the Spirit. Couldn't fight it. And after a while, here came old Stevie. And I wasn't worthy to be called his son, but I was just humbled, and I was a sinner, and I asked for forgiveness. And it's a long process to get yourself out of the world. It's been a tough fight. I'm 72 years old, and I still fight every day. I die to sin daily. Like Paul said, I die daily. Well, somebody doesn't come up and kill him. He doesn't fall over dead daily. He dies to his sin daily, because sin is with us until we leave these temples. We're under the temptation as long as we are in these physical bodies in this world. This is a testing ground world. This is the world of temptation here. And we have to fight and fight and fight daily. It isn't going to go away. You can't say, oh, I believe and I love Yahweh, and then you're not going to be bothered anymore. Once you do that, the devil's really going to attack you, because he wants to ruin your testimony. And he's got the ones that are sinning and living like hell on earth, he's not going to bother them. They're already doing what he wants them to do. But those of us who have resisted him and come apart from him, he wants to destroy our testimony so others won't see what we do. And they'll just say, oh, he's a phony. Look, he claimed to be this, and then he goes and does this. Well, we've had those in CI that have given a testimony, and then they go and they do things. And as long as they're still doing them and they're not repentant, we can't fellowship with them. We just can't, but we pray for them. Because what if they repent and totally change their life and come back to the fold? They're going to be like this fella here who came back to the Father, and the Father was rejoicing. Well, shouldn't we rejoice when somebody comes to Yahweh? Shouldn't we? Are we going to be mean-spirited? Oh, I've been faithful for years. And who do you think you are? You come in and you think you're so holy and you're this and you're that. That is mean-spirited. That's not in the spirit of Yahweh. He who is last will be first, and he who is first will be last. If you think you're so great, or I think I'm so great, that, oh, I've been CI for years, and I never did this, and I never did that. Well, so what? That's what you're supposed to do. You don't get any brownie points for that. Okay? And if 2 days before Yahshua comes and kills all these evil ones, somebody repents, they're going to enter the kingdom the same as you are. And are you going to be jealous? Are you going to be jealous of that? Are you going to begrudge him entering the kingdom because you've been doing what's right and keeping the feasts and praying and doing all this stuff for years? No! You should rejoice. Ah, finally got him. Yes, he's one of us now. He's part of the remnant. He's joined up the ranks of the people of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Finally got through to him at the last minute. That's the attitude you got to have. Praise Yahweh. I just keep on keeping on, because there may be one out there that might need to hear what I have to say today. Or play a rerun of this and hear it tomorrow or the next day or whenever. And join the remnant. And that's a cause for joy. That is a victory. Love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor being your fellow Israelite. I don't preach to the Katsuhundas. I preach to the Israelites. They're the only ones that matter. I'm not a universalist. I'm not trying to get to everybody. I'm just trying to get to the children, my brethren in Israel. Very important. It's important to Yahweh, therefore it is important to me. I'm coming down the end of the time here, and I thank you for listening. I hope and pray that what I do here makes a difference in somebody's life. Those that are in the congregation and already believers, little spiritual encouragement, and maybe they can take a talking point that I've brought up here and tell somebody else and turn them on to the Word. Because we're all commissioned to teach and preach, not just those of us that are preachers. So praise Yahweh, and I'll talk to you again on the next show.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master, lead.